Another big welcome.
Isn't it great that our God is marvelous this morning?
Amen.
With happiness inside, then I was reminded God is good all the time.
I'm thankful, so thankful for the love that he showed on a cross on a hill where he died for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that he gave so that I could be saved and live forever with him. Even in the valley, I can say, Lord. Oh, I'm thankful.
Mercy, hope, and favor, amazing grace and love. given by my Savior shining down from above.
I'm thankful, so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on the hill where He died for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Even in the valley, I can say, Lord, oh, I'm thankful.
Even on my worst days, I will lift my voice.
I have every reason to rejoice.
So I'm thankful,
so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on a hill where He died for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Oh, I'm thankful, so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on a hill where He died for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Oh, I'm thankful, so thankful for the love that He showed on a cross on the hill where He died for every sin. He's faithful, and I'm grateful for the life that He gave so that I could be saved and live forever with Him. Even in the valley, I can say, Lord, oh, I'm thankful.
Pastor, I think what we ought to do is we ought to make everybody stay where they're seated, and we'll move this to the back, and we'll have more people on the front row.
Amen.
I was as far away as everybody's sitting. Y'all expected this to be loud, didn't you?
We are so thankful to be with you guys this morning. Pastor, thank you for opening up your service and letting us be a part of this. Isn't it great that we can come into the house of God and laugh and have some fun? You know, people think they don't want to become Christians because they got to give up their fun, but that's not true. It's just a different kind of fun, right?
Amen.
We find a way to do it and be happy. All right, we're going to do, oh, this is an old hymn. I love old hymns. I got two of them up here with me. You'll recognize this one.
Great. salvation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim,
my God, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Of us are members of Pinecrest Baptist Church out of Portsmouth, Virginia, and sometimes some of these songs bring out my Bapticostal, so I have that going on. I was Methodist. I was actually Pentecostal when I was born. My parents took me to a Pentecostal church. Then we moved to a house across the street from a Methodist church, and we went there, and Dwayne and I got married in the Methodist church. Then our son graduated from high school, and we decided to look for a new church, and we ended up in the Baptist church. So I got Methabapticostal that comes out of me all at the same time. All right, why don't you introduce us real quick? Tell them who we are.
We're the Duns.
See, now you ladies know what I was talking about, right? Right?
You said real quick. Over here on my far right is probably one of the best friends I've ever had. And I believe that this guy is the hardest working person in gospel music. This guy has to have a song list that we're going to do for a program 2 weeks in advance. And he gets home and he gets in his music room and he listens and he practices and he listens and he practices. He works all the time. Let me tell you something, though, real quick. Talent is easy to find. It's dedication that's difficult to find in all of this. This is probably one of the most dedicated individuals I think I've ever known. Make my buddy Jerry welcome. This middle one here in here is going to be nominated for sainthood and get a burial plot at Arlington because she's lived with me, been married to me for 35 years. She told somebody today I was probably the oldest teenager in the room. Please make welcome my little wife, Martha. My name's Dwayne, and of course, we make up the Duns.
Knowing me from the beginning, still you chose to die. Knowing I would disappoint you, still you gave your life. You knew the times I would deny you, the times that I would fail. Still you chose the path of Calvary, you chose the cross, you chose the nails.
Amazed at all you've done to save me, and of your mercy with no end. Astounded by your love, Lord, I just can't say enough. To you I will forever lift my praise. Here I stand amazed.
There's an ocean of your saving love that I don't deserve. And no limits to your grace so free is nothing I have earned. Still you're reaching out your nail-scarred hands, rescuing mankind. All creation sings the glory of the sovereign sacrifice.
Amazed at all you've done to save me. In all your mercy with no end. Astounded by your love, Lord, I just can't say enough. To you I will forever lift my praise. Here I stand amazed.
So I cannot understand the passion of their ways. And I will lift my eyes in wonder. I will lift my voice and say,
amazed at all you've done to save. Just can't say enough. To you I will forever lift my praise. Here I stand amazed.
Oh, I'm so amazed.
Here I stand amazed.
Yes, I'm amazed.
I tell you what, my voice is not wanting to cooperate with me this morning, and this next song is my solo. It's the one I'm supposed to do. So we've kind of got this rule when you're listening to the Duns, if we mess up, you got to love us anyway. Okay, that's the rule. If we mess up, you got to love us anyway. So let's fire this thing off.
Shackled by a eternity rules.
I go to bed now?
No. All right, so we like to have a little competition on this song because they think they can outsing me on the last note, and they might be able
I don't want to outsing you on the last note.
They might be able to do it this morning because it's morning, you know, so you don't have as much voice. But let's see. Y'all have to cheer for me, not them, okay? Whoever can hold this note out the longest is the winner and gets to tell everybody else what to do today.
Egypt was once my home, I was a slave. Helpless in sin did roam, love I did crave. But when I looked up to heaven's dome, Christ came to save. I'm living in Canaan now.
Living on Canaan's side,
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied,
no longer I am blind. Living with Jesus up in Canaan right now. Satan may have you bound with fetters strong. Look up to higher ground, 'twill not be long till Christ the Savior, your soul is found. You'll sing this song,
I'm living in Canaan, living in Canaan now. Living on Canaan's side,
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied,
no longer I am blind. Living with Jesus up in Canaan, right Canaan now.
Living on Canaan's side,
oh, Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied,
my soul is satisfied,
my soul is satisfied.
Living with Jesus up in Canaan right now.
Living on Canaan's side,
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul is satisfied,
my soul is satisfied,
my soul is satisfied.
Jesus up in Canaan right now.
All right, y'all have to do what I say today. Look, we're going to, is it okay, Pastor, if we do three more songs? Okay. This song is a brand new song. We have our CDs back there. Let me just tell you real quick. We don't have a price on our CDs, our T-shirts, anything that's on our table. Everything is donation only. We decided a long time ago that we don't want someone coming to one of our concerts and wanting to take us home with them and didn't have the money to do it and couldn't do it. So whatever's back there, if you have the money for a donation, great. If you don't have the money for a donation, that's great too. You just come pick up and take whatever you want to. You want to take one to your mama, your sister, or whatever, you just pick it up and take it. This song that, are you going to introduce it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you'll let me.
I'll let you. I'll let you.
We've seen a lot of death this past year. I heard you announce this morning you've got some people here, part of your congregation, that are basically waiting for the invite to go. And, you know, it's hard. Explain something to you that was explained to me a long time ago. Love suffers when it can't give. It's not a matter of being selfish when we grieve. It's that person's here, they're no longer here to love, to do for, to be around, to experience. It's not a selfish thing. It's where love suffers when it can't give. You realize that not having you in heaven was more painful to Jesus than crucifixion? He loves you that much, wants you to be with him in paradise, be in heaven. If that friend or that loved one that you've just lost, if they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're in heaven. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're on your way to heaven. As we stand at the grave and say goodbye to these friends, remember, heaven just got sweeter. Today is the day his fight's finally over. It's hard to let go of the hand you've been holding, the same one that picked you right up every time you fell down. Remember, he said, "Son, I know where I'm going," and because of his faith, there's comfort in knowing that through all the heartache and tears, you're crying right now.
Heaven just got sweeter for you. The one you loved, loved Jesus too. No more suffering or pain. Now he's in that place where all things are new.
Even though you're hurting like this, he knows you know where he is.
And someday he'll come running when you get there too.
Heaven just got sweeter for you. It's natural to grieve, to feel your heart breaking, but for those who believe that loved ones are waiting, hold on to God's promise that death is never the end. So when you say goodbye to that old cemetery, for the saint that you lost, that grave's only temporary. He's already home and he's longing to see you again.
Heaven just got sweeter for you. The one you loved, loved Jesus too. No more suffering or pain. Now he's in that place where all things are new. Even though you're hurting like this, he knows you know where he is.
And someday he'll come running when you get there too.
Heaven just got sweeter for you. Come running when you get there too.
Heaven just got sweeter for you.
Isn't it great to have that reassurance that one day we're going to see those people again? If you go to the grave today of Buddha, what are you going to find? You're going to find bones, Buddha. You're going to find his bones there, his body, right? You go to the grave of Muhammad, what are you going to find? But you go to the grave, the tomb of Jesus Christ, and what do you find? Nothing. It's empty. I don't care what you're facing in this life today. You can face it because he lives.
Thank you.
sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet to hold a new baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives.
This is the exciting verse right here. And then one day I'll cross the river.
If they'd have sang two more songs, y'all could have just come down, repented, and I wouldn't have had to preach. Amen? Amen. Thank y'all so much for those songs, and I just love the way the Lord always works, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, brother. Loves the way the Holy Spirit works these songs together, and And I probably do need that in a minute, but I didn't bring any notes. I just come up here to preach. Amen. And I just want you to know something that, you know, I was thinking about when you were singing that song. Stephen stood up and preached the gospel that Jesus Christ come and died for the sins of the world, and that by the predestination of God and God's plan for our salvation, that evil men had put Jesus to death. And as he's preaching, he is so wound up that the crowds are gathering around him. They're fixing to run him out of town and stone him. And it says, Stephen looked up in the heavens open and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was waiting to take him home. All his future hope was tied up in his belief that Jesus not only died and was buried, but that Jesus Christ lives and reigns in heaven and was going to welcome him home. And that's what we should welcome. And that's what we should tell other people. I want us to think about this. It is Thanksgiving time. It's Christmas time. I even scanned some of the channels that are supposed to be, I guess you'd say, more religious. I don't know what you really call them, about some Christmas shows and Thanksgiving shows. And, you know, all of them, what I noticed was, instead of practicing Jesus, they was practicing religion. My sister here just talked about Muhammad, and she just talked about Buddha. You know the difference between religion and a relationship with God? Religion, you got to do something for God's approval. When you got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've already been approved. And see, Jesus come and he lived on this earth. And in chapter 11 of John's gospel, he found out that his friend was sick. And Jesus said these words, "This sickness will not end in death, but to the glory of God." But you know how the song goes. He waited 4 days to show up. Lazarus was dead, and he told Martha, "If you only believe, you'll see the glory of God." She told Mary, "The master wants to see you." And Mary went out, and when she did, a lot of the Jews that was there at the funeral and grieving with them followed Mary, assuming that she was going to go to the tomb. But when she went out and met Jesus, Jesus says, "Didn't I tell you if you only believe, you'll see the glory of God?" Then Jesus come to the tomb, and Scripture tells us that he wept. He wept because of their sorrow, and I love that. I wrote that quote down. That love is sorrow that can't give. I mean, I love that. Jesus wept with them because he saw their sorrow, but it says also he was troubled in spirit. And we skip over that word sometime. That word troubled, it really means Jesus was mad, angry, upset, because death had no part in creation. Death entered because of sin. And then Jesus called the one who was in the tomb dead and said, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." And Jesus told the people with him to unbind him. All of us in some way was wearing our death clothes when Jesus saved us. Now, this is not the message, but this is something that's very important about the Christian life. We all still got a little stench of that old death on us. And part of our sanctification is every day taking off our death clothes and putting on more of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And this morning, I want you to think about this. As you give thanks over Thanksgiving and Christmas, all them movies I was watching, them people was always in the end doing the right thing. And it made Christmas complete. When I'd kind of scan through them, or some of them I'd seen a long time ago, I was just going through the guide looking at those movies. You know, Christmas and Thanksgiving is not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about God loving us so much that he sent Jesus to restore worship. You know, you sung about Egypt. I love songs that just go through the Bible. Do you know why God told Pharaoh to let his people go? It was so they could go out from the midst of the Egyptians' gods and go into the wilderness and worship the God and creator of the world, the only God. Have you ever thought about that? We see the movie, we read the story, and we forget the purpose of being freed from the slavery of sin is to worship a holy and mighty God. As we come into this season, we need to give thanks that worship has been restored, that we can worship God, that we can gather together here today. And I bet a lot of y'all think you got up and God's happy and my spouse is happy. I'm on time. I'm in the car. And we're going to church. Right? You're here because God drawed you. You're here because Jesus died for you. You're here because Jesus cleansed us, not only from our guilt, but also he applied righteousness to us so we could come in the presence of a holy and mighty God. That's what makes a service complete. There'll be a lot of people that will go to church over this holiday season because they think it's the right thing to do. Me and someone here this morning was talking about it. I know they've been spending a lot of time with a neighbor, and that neighbor's been traveling with them, and they've been doing some things. The neighbor asked them the other day, could they come to church with them? If I come, can I sit with you? Do you know the best way we can get some people to church over Thanksgiving and Christmas is to invite them to come and sit with us? We can tell them what God's doing in our life, but if they sit with us and hear music and hear the preaching of God's word, it'll penetrate deep in their hearts and it can turn them away from their old way of life and turn them to belief in Christ. When Jesus says, this will not end in death, but to the glory of God, I want to read to you here from John chapter 11, verse 45, how God got the glory in this. This is a miracle. A dead man, this has never happened. There's three miracles or three signs that has happened here back to back that upset all the religious leaders. Jesus healed a man that had been crippled for 38 years. He healed a man that had been blind since birth, and now he's raised a man been dead for 4 days. And verse 45 says, therefore many of the Jews who came with Mary, when they saw what he'd done, they believed in him. Have you ever wanted to just give God glory? You know how you give God glory? You believe he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. We talk about all the things that Christ did here, raising Lazarus, and we think, well, that was glorious. You know what was glorious? They believed that Jesus did it. John's whole gospel is built around the idea of believe and you'll see. We live in a world that says, let me see and then I'll believe. It says here that many of them saw and believed in him. Verse 46 says, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus has done. I want to tell you, this year, when it comes to Christmas and Thanksgiving, as we go through this with all the online, I won't get into the supply chain disruption and all that's going on. There's going to be a lot of things that people's happy about. Retail sales will be up. It's just a lot of things going on. And people's going to be thankful. Like these people we fixed to see right here, and I'll try to get through this pretty quick. So you'll be out of here by probably 12. Everybody will be gone from the buffet so y'all can just get right in line. No, I'll take that back. They're thankful either that Jesus has been taken out of the holiday. They're thankful that they don't have to worry about it either way. Or they're thankful that Jesus died in their place. See, it says here that many believed in Jesus. But even some of them that saw this miracle, instead of believing in Jesus, they're like, well, we don't know if we want things to change. We need to stay in good with everybody. We better go tell the Pharisees what's going on. Mona's going to get me for this because I told this the other night. I better let that one go. Never mind. Yeah, I'll let that illustration go. We'll move on. I'm pressed for time anyway here. Anyway, here's what they did. They went and told, right? I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell on somebody else. That's what they did here. And it says in verse 47 that after they went and told, it says, therefore the chief priest and the Pharisees convened a council. In other words, they gathered each other together. They got this news that Jesus had not only healed a lame man, a blind man, and now raised the dead. So they convened the council. So you got the chief priest The chief priests are over the Sadducees, and as you remember from Bible school, the Sadducees are Sadducees because they don't believe in spiritual things, really. They didn't really believe in the resurrection. They didn't really believe that all this spiritual stuff that God was talking about. However, they were the scribes. They were the rulers there of the temple. The chief priest was their ruler. Then you got the Pharisees. It's like the lawyers. And out of them, if you gather them together, you had the Sanhedrin, which was 70 of the leaders that come together, kind of like our Supreme Court. So what they did, they called these leaders together, and this idea of convenes, the idea, they gathered together to see what they could do with Jesus. And here's the problem. They were searching for a political solution without a spiritual renewal. God sent Jesus to restore worship. That's what the Bible's about. He created us to be worshipers. We are all going to worship somebody. Buddha, his idea was, I can't figure out what to worship, so I'll worship nothingness. I'll go back into nothingness. Muhammad's idea of worship was, I'll worship doing for God. I'll work my way into heaven. God's worship says that you just have to believe in Jesus, that he lived the life you should have lived, died the death you deserve, was buried, and was resurrected so that you know he took your sin and applied his righteousness to you. And here, instead of thinking, they've been looking for the end time hope of the coming Messiah, and yet what is wrong? Their position of power is being threatened. We all have positions of power. Our idea of ourselves, you know, we see ourselves in that new car rolling down the road with the top down, and Jesse's just smiling with his music going, right? We all got this idea of ourselves, what we should look like. If your position in Christ Jesus doesn't give you your identity, you'll never be happy. See, it's called positional sanctification. It's a big word that just means this. I am who I am because I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. When you remember what life was like without Jesus, and then you remember what your life's like with him living in you and you living in him, it don't matter what the rest of the world thinks. It's kind of like the old song, me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. See, their problem was their identity was built up in, I'm the Pharisees, I'm the Sadducees, together we the Sanhedrin, together we run this. But what's bad, they don't realize everybody got a boss, right? Because the Romans are running them. When it says here that the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and they were saying, well, what are we doing or what are we accomplishing? Look, they've been trying to do away with Jesus ever since he healed the lame man. And they said, we're really not accomplishing anything here, for this man is performing many signs. Now, this word sign, John uses it over and over in his gospel. What it means is he has made an event happen that's got a deeper meaning to it. That's what that word sign means, or you can call it a miracle. This word sign, Jesus has done something, but it's got a deeper meaning. And it says, look, he's forming these signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. Well, that's to the glory of God. That's what God wants, people to believe in Jesus. It's like, now who do they need to believe in? Us, the religious leaders. We got our position of power. Rome's letting us stay in power as long as we keep all these people under our thumb. We're going to lose our position if Jesus gains. Let me tell you, this can happen in church very easy. Because in church, a lot of times, I'm the pastor. I'm the deacon. I'm the Sunday school teacher. I'm the security guard. Whatever your position is in church, if you're not careful, you'll want to hold on to that power so tight that you'll start looking at other people and pointing your finger at them. Let me tell you, the only way to worship God in the church, in your home, or in your city, or in your country, is for Jesus to be the most important person in the room wherever you go. And this is what's wrong. the temple had become a place of their power instead of a place that they come to worship God. Do you know why you went up to the temple? Because God's presence. Do you know why they built the tabernacle a certain way? Because everything had to be holy so God's presence could be there. And now they're like, what are we going to do? If Jesus keeps on doing this, people's going to believe in him. And look, the Romans will come and take away both our place. There they're talking about the temple. They'll take away our position of power, our place. They'll take it away. Our church will no longer be like it'll be. There'll be people coming from everywhere we don't like, and they'll be changing things. That's what they're saying. Everything's going to change. We need a political solution. What they didn't think about was they needed spiritual renewal. If you want to have a great Thanksgiving, a great Christmas, you need spiritual renewal. You need to make it a point when you go to a family get-together to be the one that stands up and like, hey, before we pray, before we get started, can I just read you a scripture? Can we refocus? Hey, how about going to church with me? You can sit with me. You know, a lot of times I invite people to church. They don't come. And sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I wonder why I didn't ask them to come and just sit with me in church. Doesn't that sound more inviting? I'll save you a seat. I'll come by and pick you up. You know what I've seen young people do at the Cowboy Church? Bring their friends. Because they invite them to come and sit with them. I got a young man that knocked off with rain coming, putting in a road. He got to church late and apologized for being there late, and he left. And he brought his whole work crew with him to church. I started home that night from church. A friend of mine called and said, you ain't gonna believe this. Said, I stopped and talked to them and asked them if they was trying to finish that road before it rained. They told me they was. He said, I just started home and went by there. I wondered how they got that road done and come to church. He said, they out there with the headlights on the trucks and they working now. Said, he knocked off and brought his whole crew to hear the gospel and then took them back to work and they working through the night. When was the last time you went to that much trouble to bring a loved one to church? We all going to spend eternity somewhere and being religious won't get you to heaven. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to be so thankful that Jesus died in your place that you're willing to share that with other people. Because here it says in verse 49, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, and usually they are high priests for a year. He was high priest for 18 years. He was high priest for 16 years. When this is happening right here, and that just goes to show that he always did what the Romans wanted him to, or they would have took him out of order. Before him, most of the priests, the three before him, was only in office about a year. And the ones after him, only about a year. One of them, 18 months. Because why? They wasn't doing what Rome wanted. This man had held this position for a long time. Because why? He was doing what society wanted him to do instead of what God wanted him to do. And he says here, you know nothing of all. And Josephus, the historian, says that the Sadducees was just rude people. So what he's saying here, our translation makes it sound nice. What he doesn't say, you know nothing at all. If it was in our today's language, he'd say, are y'all stupid? What are y'all thinking? Why are y'all doing it this way? He says, do you not take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish? And then here's verse 51. Now, he did not say this on his own initiative, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not only for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one, the children of God who are scattered abroad. Jesus said, I have other sheep that is not in this flock that I must bring in. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, I not only pray for these, talking about the 12 disciples or the 11 disciples, he says, but I also pray for these who believe in their word. Jesus come to draw the children of God back into worship of God so they could enter into the promises of God to share in the kingdom of God. This is what this is talking about. The end time hope of all the nation Israel was that the Messiah would come, call them together, bring them into the promised land, and the kingdom of God would be restored on earth, and they would have their prominence in the presence of God. That's what they looked forward to, and they had missed it because they was looking at the things of this earth instead of the things of Christ. It says here, and I don't have time to get there, but Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as the heavens is higher than the earth. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Caiaphas was speaking of earthly things, but because he was the high priest that year, he prophesied. In other words, God was using what he said to bring about a truth. When we think about being thankful, the Sanhedrin just wanted God out of the way. As we go to Walmart, places like that, you know, they don't, it's happy holidays, it's not Merry Christmas. Hey, the world's happy just to do away with Jesus like these people were. And if we're not careful, we want to argue more about them doing away with Jesus than we want to tell them what it means that Jesus died for us. Some of them were indifferent. Look what it says here as we follow along, and I'm going to come back to how Jesus died for us, but I want you to get this indifference. It says, from that day on, they planned together. So they gathered together to be thankful that they was going to do away with Jesus. They together gathered together wanting to kill Jesus. When Jesus come to gather us together to worship God. Y'all get this gathering that's going on here? It starts all the way back in chapter 10. And it's going through here. We're going to be gathered together as the people of God. And it says now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many, okay, so many believed in Jesus. Now many's going up to Jerusalem, probably about a million, usually about 100,000 in Jerusalem. It's going to be about a million. They're going up out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they're going up to purify themselves because the lives they live, and they live within the Gentiles where they bury people and where they got all these things. So they got all these rituals they got to go through to purify themselves before the Passover week begins. So they're heading up to the Passover. And it says, so they were seeking for Jesus. So they are looking for Jesus. They talking about Jesus. They looking for him, verse 56. And they were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? You think that he will come to the feast at all? Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, they was to report it so that they could seize him. So they planning on to kill Jesus. They's like, if anybody sees him, y'all let us know. Now all these people go up, waiting on God's Messiah to come and free them to worship God. And their question is, I wonder if Jesus will show up. So I go back to the beginning of the message. There's three things that's going to happen in your life between now and Christmas morning. You're either going to be thankful that you don't have to deal with Jesus and talk to him to your relatives. You're going to be thankful that it don't really matter. Or you're going to be thankful that Jesus came and died for your sins. Think about how many people's indifferent about Jesus. They come to church, but it doesn't matter if Jesus is here or not. They'll gather for events surrounding Christmas holiday that should be about Jesus. Why? To feel better, to have a good time. Really don't matter to them if Jesus lived or died. You know, and sometimes we get caught up in that because we get so busy with the holidays that we forget the reason that we're there. So, I want to tell you why you should be thankful that Jesus died in your place. Caiaphas says it is expedient that one man die that the whole nation might live. John, the apostle, writes that he didn't say this on his own, that God said it. It was expedient for y'all, for me, that Christ die in our place. The word expedient means it was to our advantage that Christ die for us. Why? Because he's the only person that ever lived a perfect life holy before God, and therefore he could die for our sins. I want to close with this, and you understand what's going on here, and I want you to think about this and carry it to your family and friends at Thanksgiving dinners and at Christmas gatherings. You let them know that as they went up to this Passover, something was fixing to happen. Leviticus chapter 16 tells us when you get ready for the Passover that the priest should select two goats. You know the problem with sin? It makes us feel guilty. We like to get our guilt forgiven, right? But guess what? If our guilt is forgiven, we're still guilty of sinning against the holy and mighty God. When David sinned with Bathsheba against her husband, then killed her husband, when he confessed, he said, God, before you and you alone, I have sinned. Now, I think Uriah would think that David sinned against him since he killed him, right? And he did. Sinned with Bathsheba also, but ultimately he sinned against the holy God. Two goats were chosen. One was slaughtered, and one had blood put on his head, and the priest would lay his hand on that goat and profess the sins of all the people on that goat's head, and then somebody else would take the goat out in the wilderness and turn it loose, called a scapegoat. You ever heard of a scapegoat? That's where it come from. That goat would carry the sins of the people out of the camp, away from the people of God. So their sins, so their guilt would be removed. But guess what? That wasn't just, because the holy God had been sinned against, and you still had to do something about justice. The other goat was killed to satisfy the justice of God. Because there's only forgiveness of sin through the shedding of blood, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Paul says it this way: we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was our expiation, meaning he took our guilt. Peter quoting Isaiah says it this way: in his body he bore our sins on a cross. For by his wounds we were healed. Here we understand that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was also, it was a covering of sin. Paul says it this way, that God passed over sins in the past by covering them by the shedding of blood. So Jesus died for our sins, and he shed blood, took away our guilt. But then propitiation. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says he was the propitiation for our sin. That means he absorbed the wrath of God. I said this other night. How many of y'all use Bounty? Evidently, I'm the only one. I don't know how Bounty stays in business. I thought everybody used Bounty. Bounty's the quicker picker up, y'all. You get Cha-Ching or Food Lion brand, they smear, right? You rub stuff around. Bounty is the quicker picker upper. It absorbs. You just throw it down and it just goes. Right? Propitiation. Jesus stood between us and God. According to Ephesians 2, we were all children of wrath waiting to be whooped by God. Jesus stood between us and the wrath of God, and God poured out all the wrath on all the sins of the world, and Jesus hung on a cross and absorbed all the punishment that each of us deserves, the whole world. That's what he's talking about here when he says that he died not only for the nation, but for the whole world. When he says that he might gather the children of God back together. This Christmas, share the gospel with someone. Tell them that Christ lived the life you should have lived. He died the death you deserved. He was buried, and God raised him to show that not only were your sins paid for, But Jesus took all the judgment so that you can live a new life, forgiven in the presence of God, that you can worship God. Why do we get to go to church? Because Jesus forgave us and brought us into the presence of God. The lives that we live are a miracle when we're forgiven. Dirty sinners are changed into the righteousness of Christ. That is a mystery in itself, according to Luther. People will watch your life and like, you know, I really wished I could be happy like that. I really wish when bad times come, I could have faith in God. That will draw them to God. But Paul says that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God. You need to invite somebody to hear the Word of God with you. You need to set under preaching. The songs that the lyrics are coming from Scripture lift people up into the presence of God and makes them hungry. And then when God opens His Word and it goes to preaching, lives get changed. Let's bow our heads. I want you to think right now of someone in your family or a friend or a co-worker that you know is separated from God. Either they're not saved or they just complacent, they indifferent. They think it's okay, as long as I believe that God exists, I don't have to go to church and God will be okay with me. I want you to think of that person. You might have somebody in your life that used to go to church and they fall away and they're just not coming. I want you just to say right now, Lord, put a desire in my heart to see them spiritually renewed and worshiping you. Lord, give me the courage to call and invite them to come and sit in services with me through this season. If it's someone you know that's lost, say, Lord, help me share the gospel with them. Help me bring them so if I've planted a seed, that seed can sprout and the Holy Spirit can water it and eventually they'll come to salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, If you think, well, I've been living pretty good and God ought to be happy with me, but you don't know for sure, it's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I've not been living the life that you want me to live. I believe you lived the life I should have lived. You died the death I deserve. I believe you was buried for my sins and 3 days later God raised you, so I know that I can be justly forgiven. Lord, please give me this new life and take control of it. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Thank you, thank you. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you died in our place. There's two small words in this passage here. That mean that you died in our place. That it was expedient or to our advantage that you died for us. On our behalf, on our stead. Lord, thank you that you died for us so that we can live with you. Help us never forget when we leave here that the life that we have because you loved us and gave your life so that we could live anew with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The signs and times tell us the end is drawing near. Wars and strife going on, and it's causing men to fear. But don't lose hope, soon we will be gone. When Gabriel sounds the call, lift your head up high, 'cause we are going home. Oh, what a day, a glorious day, when we behold the King of Kings. We will cast our crowns and bow before His feet. The former
The victory's won. What a day, a glorious day, when Jesus comes again.
We long for the day when we see Jesus face to face, to behold Him in His splendor and thank Him for His grace, crying, "Holy is the Lord of hosts," as we gather round the throne, giving praise to Him, 'cause we have made it home. Oh, what a day!
The King of Kings,
we will cast our crowns and bow before His feet. The former things will all be gone. We will shout,
"The victory's won!" What a day, a glorious day, when Jesus comes again. The former things will all be gone. We will shout, "The victory's won!" What a day, a glorious day, when Jesus comes again.
Amen. Y'all thank the Duns again. And thank God for bringing us together in His house today. Give God a big hand. You know, used to we didn't want to clap and all in church, but you know, John Hagee's always said, give the Lord a hand in His house. Amen. We're supposed to come into His house with shouts of thanksgiving. And I want you to be sure as you leave this place and go into Thanksgiving this week and into Christmas to give thanks to God for dying in your place. Give thanks and let people know why you're thankful. There's going to be people that are going to make it their point to take Jesus out of Christmas. They'll want to make it a point that it's not Merry Christmas or Christmas. It's Happy Holiday. That's going to be their thing. And that's just to start arguments to distract from Jesus. There's going to be other people that will be indifferent. It doesn't matter to them either way. You can talk about Christ or not talk about Christ. They'll be polite to you. It won't matter. But you can choose to in all things be thankful that it was to your advantage that Christ died for you. And you can let people know why. Because why? I couldn't save myself. Jesus come and died in my place. He took my guilt and He took my punishment. And He gave me a new life so I can worship God with God's people. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Kind Father, just be with us. Thank You for the Duns. And I pray as we exit, Lord, that any of the music we get, we'd play it this Christmas. Lord, in our homes when people are in or out, or take it with us in the vehicles. And Lord, just thank You that we could help support them in a small way as they continue to minister and carry the gospel everywhere they go, Lord. Be with them tonight at Narrow Trail Cowboy Church. Lord, I pray right now for somebody to get saved there tonight. For that one person that might be today at the barrel race and one of the kids is inviting them to come, or a parent, and they're inviting them, that, Lord, You'd be working in their heart and they get there tonight and they get saved. That, Lord, their life is changed. That'll change their home. That'll change their family. Lord, I just pray for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all so much. And forget every time the offering bucket's in the front and the back, because we hadn't started passing the plate again. Thank y'all.